This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug, good to Jim Langan with you on this Friday. Glad to get you ready for a weekend, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, including mine and yours and everybody that's out there. Happy Mother's Day. And graduations are going on. Some have happened. More will happen this weekend and kind of wrap it up next week. We always talk about the athletes because that's who we see more often than not. But best of luck to all of those. And, of course, today UNK graduation going on as well. But a little more sports to talk about today. Brian Munson from Rivals. He has switched companies, but he still is full of knowledge. And we'll talk a little bit about the latest oral commits, a couple of them coming up this week. We'll talk about the Rivals camp that took place in St. Louis last week. There's an in-state offer to a young man, Ben Stilley, from Ashland Greenwood. The draft, where he thinks the Huskers will end up as far as making the team and not especially the free agent signees. And then we'll also talk with Alan Van Cura, who announced yesterday that he is stepping down after 40 years at Hastings St. Cecilia. I mean, you know he's been there that long. He doesn't look like he's been there that long, and he's been successful for a long time. And I think Alan has one of the more, and he'll join us towards the end of the program. But Jimmy, I think Alan is one of the more interesting coaches, but not from a personal standpoint. He started things there at St. Cecilia. They were immediately successful. And then they were always competitive and good. But there was a long time before they got great again. And that's kind of where they're at now at the end of his career. When you're talking 40 years, that just doesn't happen in sports anymore. You can get burned out. You can get fired. You can look for a different job somewhere. You can change professions. But he has done it in volleyball and track and in the classroom and finally going to step down. But boy, I'm going to have to get a chart to learn all the new coaches in our area next year.
Yeah, there seems like there's been a lot of guys that are and women that are stepping down. You know, Alan, one thing he did when he was at St. Cecilia is his schedule was so tough. You know, you can sometimes be in an area, and I'm just going to throw this out, and this maybe is unfair, but you're at Ogallala. You're out there, and you're going to maybe dominate out west, and you're going to be better than a lot of the teams you play. But he, you know, how many times do you think he had to play Columbus SCOTUS? How many times do you think he had to play GICC in tournaments? You know, so, I mean, those are 50-50 games at the best, and then to win as many games as he did is amazing.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's the phone number to be on today's program. You can also tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550 and email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. I mentioned it on the sports kind of this morning if you had a chance to listen in, but a really good day for Kearney and Hastings. Yesterday, Kearney wins the GNAC boys and girls. Both soccer teams advance on to state. Then you go over to Hastings. Both soccer teams advance on to sub-state. Kearney Catholic wins yesterday. And so congratulations to all of those. Sub-state they've had going on a couple of years, and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. I think it's different. And I said it's Eastern bias, and if I was an Eastern school, then I would probably like the way that this is set up. But it only happens in track and volleyball, where you can lose in the postseason, not be one of the top two wildcard teams, and still have a chance to get to state. The eight district winners play tomorrow, and then the eight teams that didn't win their district but have the top wild cards can get in. This helps somebody along the way to get in there, and a few of those points even changed from this morning when we made a couple of unofficial announcements on the sports. You look at the points and you say, well, this is the way it looks like, but a team like Northwest just misses out on getting into sub-state after losing in the districts yesterday. But here's the information for you. The sub-state games are set for tomorrow. On the boys' side, Lexington will host Lincoln Lutheran. They're still putting together the times, which, again, it's tomorrow. It's a short turnaround. The Hastings boys will be at Ralston. And then on the girls' side, Hastings will be at home against Omaha Duchesne in the 8-9 matchup. Kearney Catholic will host Platteview, and that game is at noon tomorrow. So you got to be thinking, some of these games are 24 hours away, and we don't know when they're going to be played yet. That's got to be a little tough for all involved. And some of these guys, I'm sure, have to dance around graduation.
Well, I'm sure the graduations are some of it, and maybe the officials, you know, trying to find a time when the official can get there due to a job or something like that. I'm not sure about that, but I just being an AD, sometimes a couple schools can't agree on something because they want their parents to be able to attend both the girls and the boys teams. You know, one would be hosting, one would be playing away, and make it feasible so those two teams could watch both teams play. So,
and of course, all the rain and all the problems that are going on in Lincoln, and on one side of the things, it's a bad deal for the too much rain and the flooding and all of that. But so far, it doesn't sound like that has caused a tremendous amount of damage, which is good. On the other side, you've got the world of sports. Nebraska trying to get some baseball in. They've been mentioned in Duncan Field and Hastings to play Purdue. Can you imagine how fun that would be to get them out here? And I think that I think Nebraska will be shy to pull the trigger because of their ticket holders, which I understand, but it would also be kind of a neat thing if they moved it out to Memorial here at Kearney or Duncan at Hastings, trying to hit it over that wall. Can you imagine? I mean, the attendance, I think, would be outstanding. You know that they're big baseball towns, Grand Island, Hastings, Kearney, how cool that would be. But it's also affecting high school baseball. The A2 district is where Grand Island is the number two seed. And so tomorrow, semifinal games have been moved to Den Hartog Field in Lincoln. And I got to look that up to see where that is in Lincoln. I know the name, but I can't give you the exact address right now, and it's not on our...
And that's not at Lincoln East Field, correct? That one's not at Lincoln East? Okay, yeah, there's a one at Lincoln East, you know, up at Seacrest Field. There's a field right behind that, but I might have the wrong one. That might be something else.
So Grand Island will play Archbishop Bergen tomorrow at 4 o'clock. They'll play the Lincoln Southwest, and then the winner of the Brian Benson game today will play Lincoln Southwest at 1:30. Then Grand Island play Archbishop Bergen at 4. The district final is still scheduled for Monday at 5 o'clock. If they can play at Sherman, they will. If not, they'll move back over to Den Hartog Field, because even Lincoln, parts of Lincoln, 8 inches, 3 inches, depending on what part of town you were in.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, there's some farmers out there, Doug. I mean, they got 8 or 10 inches. If their corn was up already, they've got to make a decision about, they're going to have to tear that up and replant, because if their corn was up some, they're going to have to make some switches. So I think there's a little more damage, and I think it was, by Hastings, somewhere between Hastings and the state line, where there's quite a bit of damage, you know, with the way too much rain.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776 is the number to join us on the program today. So as we talked about a couple of the high school things here with soccer and baseball, I was at track yesterday, and we mentioned the GNAC, the Kearney girls, breaking the GNAC scoring record with 203 points yesterday. So congratulations to them, and the Kearney boys winning conference for the 26th. Consecutive year, 26th consecutive year for the Kearney boys yesterday. North Platte and Lexington finished second, third. For the girls, it was Columbus and Norfolk. At the Lou Platte meet, Adams Central cruises to the boys' title, followed by Kearney Catholic, St. Paul, Donovan Trumbull, Centura. For the girls, it was Ord, Kearney Catholic, Adams Central, Donovan Trumbull, and Wood River. Head golf yesterday. Ord wins the Lou Platte meet over at Indian Head. St. Paul was second, followed by Adams Central, Kearney Catholic, and Wood River. 69. That's a pretty good score for 18 holes, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know what? What was the winning team score? Did they shoot around
310?
311. Okay.
Well, there you go. That's around 310.
Yeah, right out now.
311.
Kid missed that two-footer. It would have been a
dang number four guy. Yeah. Adam Central's Ashton Graham, a 69 yesterday at Indian Head. Matt Hansen of St. Paul, a 72. And then all five of Ord's golfers were third through seventh yesterday, led by Grant Welniak. And then you had Corbin Hines of Gibbon ninth and Zach Schmidt of Kearney finished in 10th. The Twin Valley was won by Franklin yesterday over Red Cloud and Blue Hill. Logan Schultz of Deschler wins the playoff over Skyler Brumbaugh of Red Cloud. And at Gothenburg's Wild Horse, it's not a bad place to play a conference tournament,
would that
is
be
it?
Something? You know, as a coach, as you're going, hey, do we get to play behind the kids?
No. Minden wins at 345, followed by Valentine and Cozad. Jake Kuhn of Minden, a 77 yesterday. So congratulations to Jake. It brings up the same question that we'll probably be discussing here after Memorial Day. Why can't a course like Wild Horse have a state tournament and a Class A state tournament or a Class B state tournament? I don't think the guys would mind driving an hour for the lodging, wherever they had to go, North Platte, Kearney, anywhere in between, to play the state tournament at a course like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that'd be interesting. And I'm sure some of those courses would make a bid on that. You know, now Gothenburg, you know, they would like to have a state tournament. You know, that you have to have quite a bit of help. You know, and it's the same thing with Kearney when they run them. There's quite a bit of help you have to have. But I'm sure Gothenburg would be able to find enough volunteers to run that.
I would think if Gothenburg bid, they'd get it. I just think there's too many things, and you touched on a couple of them, that the state's afraid of. I think they get into that mold of it's pretty easy to just have it here, have it here, have it here. It's repetition.
Well, I remember this would have been in the 1980s, and I was coaching golf at Ravana, and all of a sudden we'd play these meets on Saturdays because you didn't want to miss school. That's what it was. They moved track to Saturdays. At that time, there was a big switch to kids are missing too much school. You know, they're missing too much school. We're going to make sure that they're in the building. And I remember one time at St. Paul, it must have been, I'm going to say, early April, late March, and it was like a 90-degree Saturday. And all these men came out there to play golf that had paid their memberships from Grand Island, and they're all excited to come out there, and they look out here, and guess what's going on? They got a high school golf meet. And I think there were enough phone calls to a couple superintendents in the Lou Platt Conference that got moved from a Saturday to a Friday, if you know what I mean. Because that's the real problem is people that are playing, and you know, same thing with Gothenburg. You know, if they do host that, they've got to make some money. They've got to generate some income that they don't want to lose a tremendous amount of income because you only have so many weekends, you know, where you're going to make a tremendous amount of money when you have a golf course. And it costs quite a bit of money to upkeep and all that. You know, and these golf courses like in Valentine and Gothenburg that don't have maybe the traffic as in Omaha, you know, where the Omaha Country Club. Can you imagine how many people go through that? Yeah. Or an Omaha public course, hey, every 6 minutes somebody tee off and boom, pick it up after six shots. We want to get as many people to play, you know.
Well, and if you've noticed, there are not hardly any events, especially in the spring, on Saturday anymore. Track used to be every Saturday. Every Saturday, that was track. That was just it. Every Saturday. How many meets are even on Saturday? The Centennial meets tomorrow in Columbus. But even the GNAC yesterday at Lexington, you got schools from Scottsbluff to Norfolk, and it's on a Thursday. I mean, there's no conference in the state that covers more mileage than the GNAC does, and almost everything is non-weekend. Even when we get to basketball, wrestling's about the only thing that continues to stay on pace with almost every Saturday. Well, there is every Saturday out there. There are very few, and if it is, it's Friday night. But even you look at basketball, times are moved up on Saturdays. There's fewer Saturday games. They play a lot of afternoon games.
Yeah, and you know what they're trying to do, they're trying to make it convenient for the teams that are traveling and the parents that are attending these games. And people want to do, sometimes it's that people want to go out for supper, do something else on a Saturday night. So if they move the game up a little bit, they're going to do that too. Plus, it's easier to travel in the wintertime when it's light out.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
I know I appreciate afternoon games.
And yeah, so do I. I mean, it gives you a little more time. But it used to be the only thing going on, the only game in town. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot. There's so much more to do now that you know, the crowds are still there. You're still following your team, but it's just different.
Yeah, and it would be interesting to see with Gothenburg if they do host, like you say, a conference tournament, and then they host a couple other high school events, that their members or the people that are paying their dues are kind of going, hey, I don't know how many times we don't. I don't know if we need the state meet and take up our course, because, you know, it's 36 holes now. And it used to be, you know, you could get that done in 18 holes, and now, you know, it's going to, and then you got a rain out day, and then it's going to take 3 days to get it in. So,
well, I still say, and we've had it here in Kearney enough at Metal Arc Hills and at the Country Club. I mean, so it's inconveniencing their members. So you play golf in Omaha, you're more important. I mean, here's the bottom line. Class B this year is at Riverside and Grand Island, and Class D is at Metal Arc and Kearney. Those are formidable challenges to the golfers. Class A and Class C are both in Lincoln, Highlands and Holmes. Highlands, nice course. Nice course. Not brutal. Holmes, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I play okay at Holmes. I mean, that should tell you something there. And these are in the middle of the week. They're not on the weekend. It would be nice to see the kids. I mean, we got Class A guys and teams that go out there, and they're continually breaking records. It'd be nice to get a shot at Omaha Country Club, at Firethorn. I don't know that it's possible to bring them out west because, let's face it, there's fewer Class A teams. I mean, Kearney's it. There's nothing west of Kearney.
Yeah.
And so there's no reason to be looking at, you know, Scottsbluff Country Club or you know, Mullen Prairie Club. I mean, those would be awesome, awesome places to have things like this.
You know,
but you've got chances to go at a nicer Lincoln course or a nicer Omaha course.
Yeah, good point. You know what's kind of interesting? I talked to some girls' golf coaches, and they have a lot of their meets on Saturdays. And the reason, and you know why they would have that, because they're playing in September and October, and there's 80 or 90,000 people attending a Nebraska football game. The courses are a little more open, you know, during the afternoon, you know. So, yeah.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question, and then we'll take a break. Brian Munson right around the corner later on in the show. Alan Van Cura, longtime coach at St. Cecilia, will talk about his retirement. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday we asked you, should members of the Patriots be suspended for Deflategate? 55% said yes, 45% said no. To me, it is what it is, and I guess by the letter of the law, you got to do something. Anybody that's talking about suspending Brady for a year, you just don't like Tom Brady. You just don't like the Patriots, so zip it. Today, we ask you, kind of along those lines, Alex Rodriguez. He passed Willie Mays last night with his 661st home run. Is this a big deal? I think it's a big deal because we made a big deal out of Barry Bonds all the way through. I think Alex Rodriguez this year is getting the shaft. I think when he was 19, 20, 21 and coming in, he was awesome. It's hard to tell the set of years that he was taking substances. I see Alex Rodriguez as I saw Barry Bonds. They would have been Hall of Famers without the extra juice, however you want to call it.
I agree with that. I agree with that statement.
So I think it's a big deal, yes, because I don't know. We didn't have what we've got now. I'm not calling Willie Mays and Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron a cheater, but who knows what those guys were doing back in the day? Who knows? I mean, what they were taking. There was no ban. Everything was legal. So, I mean, you can't tell me that sports guys in the 20s to 50s to the 90s didn't have an extra edge somewhere along the way. Come on. So yeah. I say it's a big deal. I'm sure I'm going to not be in the majority of that.
You know, I don't understand. I do know, I think Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs in 154 games. And when Roger Maris, was that who it was that broke his record? Help me out here. I think it was. And he got a 61st. And it was in his 160 after 162 games. And they put the asterisk there. Remember the asterisk? Mm-hmm. You know, it's, we've always talked about the asterisk in sports and what the asterisk means. And I, for some reason, the people that loved Babe Ruth just didn't want anybody to break his record. He was the guy. And if somebody breaks his record, they're looking, hold it. well, what's different? How did somebody break his record? You know, and I guess, you know, when you look at a Nebraska football and Johnny Rogers is catching all these passes and Nebraska's winning two national championships and he's winning a Heisman Trophy. And then all of a sudden you got some kid from Shawnee Mission, Kansas, that was almost, and Nebraska's going 5-7. And that guy's going to break his career pass-catching record because they couldn't move the ball any other way. You know, it's still a record. That was the record. They didn't say how you did it and how many catches and you know, and how it went about it. But let's be honest. I mean, if they only throw to you 8 times compared to throwing to you 28 times, they're not the same. Well, the same kind of thing with Rod Alec. I mean, he still hit 661 home runs. I mean, the pitchers, if they were maybe juiced up a little bit, you know, throwing the ball to him compared to where they juiced up throwing the ball to Babe Ruth. You know, the other thing to think about, okay, the bats weren't as good. I'll tell you this. Somebody that could pole vault 12-foot 1950, and they had if they could go to the track meets now, I guarantee you they would be going way over 12-foot. Let's face reality on that call. But I don't know, you know, they used to have, it was 296 to right field, 296. You go to any American Legion baseball field in Nebraska, and you can't find a 296 right field. I mean, maybe there's one, but he got a lot of home runs that way. Are you going to take away? Let's take away all those home runs. The one, you know, so you put an asterisk by that. So I don't like things with asterisks. I do like this. In track and field, it's not fair. If somebody long jumps at the Loop City meet and they did the track, they have the sand pit too far down and it's a downhill. And all of a sudden, the kid that gets 6 breaks the school record too. You know, everybody breaks the school record. Well, they've got to go back and look at that and go hold it. You know, this was wind dated or whatever. So enough said, I guess.
No, I'm using that.
What's that, Loop City's track?
No, I hate the asterisk.
Well, I hate that.
That's awesome.
No, I mean, well, I mean, either he breaks it or he doesn't. But if the kid jumped 21 feet 6 inches, that's what he did on that thing. But you don't have to count it as school record if the wind was aided. You get to make those decisions. And that's why they have those rules in place, because sometimes somebody gets an unfair advantage. They do get an unfair advantage, you know. But you know what, in football, what do you think those longest field goals are at those schools? Do you think maybe the wind was blowing at the kids' back a little bit? I'll bet they were. The longest discus throw, I'll bet you the wind might have been a little different that day.
Don't forget to vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler questions at ESPNSuperstation.com. Brian Munson from Rivals going to join us after this.
Digger's Green Thumb is a locally owned greenhouse in Kennesaw. Come see the selection of the finest bedding and vegetable plants, hanging baskets, and gifts galore for your mom this Mother's Day. You will find geraniums, hanging baskets, and planters at a great price and unique garden ornaments that you just have to see to appreciate. Show mom how much you appreciate everything that she does by brightening her garden and her day. Digger's in Kennesaw, one block south of the tracks on South Smith Avenue. We know how your garden grows with plants from Digger's.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A 3-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, look for partly sunny skies with high temperatures reaching the upper 60s. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance for some showers and storms developing late in 53. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently it's 55.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. By the way, Hartog Field is the one you're talking about, right by Seacrest, near 77th and A.
Yeah, that's where it's at. That's a nice field. That's a really good field.
So that's where Grand Island will play tomorrow in districts at 4 o'clock for the Islander fans out there. Time to talk a little Husker football, and when we do so, we talk a little T&L irrigation like no other. Get them in your field and be ready to go today. Just like the recruits and the strong football players at Nebraska, you'll find strength in that pivot irrigation system in your field. T&L's superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and their hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system is what you want for 2015. Visit your local T&L dealer today or go to TLIRR.com. T&L irrigation systems like no other. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, joined by Brian Munson here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What's up, Bri?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Glad to have you on. I mean, I talk about all this football and kids making commitments, and they're going to camps, and we got the draft, and we got oral commitments. Heck, we got so many coaches around here making moves. Even you're making a move. What's going on? Tell us all about it.
So, yes, I have basically come home. Back in 2000, I was given my opportunity to begin, you know, this job, this hobby that's gone way wrong or way right, depending on how you look at it. I had an opportunity to jump back over to Rivals.com and as well, you know, just keep up my contributions covering Nebraska football for Husker Online. So I'm working with Sean Callahan, who actually I started working with before I left the original Rivals.com back in about 2002, 2003. And Mike Mattia is still there from when I left. And Nate Klaus, who I actually met, who was working for the university under Bill Callahan, back in about 2005, 2006. So a lot of guys over there I've gotten to know over the years, kind of put the band back together, so to speak, like the Blues Brothers. So very excited to be back over there.
Well, we got a lot of things to jump into. I want to start with kind of one of your first things since switching over to Rivals, and that was a camp out in St. Louis last weekend. Just explain to the folks what was going on and then your observations.
So Rival Camp Series is a traveling camp that will hit up various areas, and they're planned out. You can look it up online. It's a great opportunity. It's an invite-only type of deal, so you kind of have to apply to get a chance to go out there. We had an opportunity to see so many in-state Nebraska recruits. You know, the headliner, obviously, of course, like Noah Fant. I got a chance to see him from Omaha South. Ben Steele, recently got the offer from Ashland, was there as well. It's such a tremendous opportunity, I think, number one, to see the words, what happens with those guys. They're unfairly criticized for being a Nebraska high school recruit, and there's nothing that you can do about it. That you can't, you know, live in Omaha when you're in Ashland. You can't play against those schools because you are where you are. But Ben Steele did a great job of going out there to St. Louis and playing against the top national talent and having success. And of course, Noah Fant did the same thing. Saw a lot of other Nebraska recruits, Isaiah Simmons, Xavier Kelly. Very exciting time out there. It's going to be great for Nebraska to have that kind of talent growing up at state this year.
Ashland Greenwood has been an up-and-coming program in the state of Nebraska for, and we call them smaller schools when you're non-Class A or Metro B. Out of Ashland Greenwood, Ben Steele has been given an offer by Nebraska. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Ben Steele, 6'3", 6'4"-ish, you know, 230 pounds plus. Really worked out solely as a defensive end. When I talked to him yesterday after he had picked up the offer from Nebraska, he basically said Nebraska doesn't know where they like him. They don't know if he's a tight end. They don't know if he's a defensive end. All he said was, we know we want you. And we know that we want you on this team. Steele would follow up and say, look, I just want a shot to play defense. process because I think that that's what I like the best. And that's completely fair. That's all I saw that this weekend. He had a chance to go through a lot of one-on-ones and defense. I thought he did well. He's going to have to get to understand, you know, using leverage and using his hands a little bit more. But realistically, when you're, you know, when you have that kind of size and you're playing in an Ashland Greenwood, regardless of that, you know, you're able to make first moves and guys consistently with where you're at the level you're playing at. That's not a knock on Ben, because a lot of guys don't even have that first move. He's developed that first move. He has to learn now how to set guys up. He has to learn how to counter, and he has to learn just, you know, how to break it down a little bit better. And I think that he has all the talent, all the physical gifts that a Division I football player needs.
Hey, Jim Langan here. I'm going to change things a little bit on you. I'm going to talk about the NFL draft a little bit and about Amir Abdullah and Randy Gregory and how their stock kind of changed a little bit. Now, the comment I want to make first is when Amir Abdullah was selected, one of the guys made the comment, and he tried to say right at the very end, he said, you know, he was graded higher than anybody in NFL history by this one club on his off the field and the way he interviewed and et cetera. And then Randy Gregory, at the end of his, the lady thanked him for sticking around because he stayed there for 2 days. And a lot of the times those guys get out of there, they don't want to be around there unless they're in the first selection. But he stood there and he answered the questions. I thought he had a pretty good day when they ask him the questions on that day. Your thoughts and what's going to happen with these two players?
Well, I think, first of all, Amir Abdullah has got an opportunity to be one of those guys that has an impact immediately when it comes to the NFL. I'm not surprised at all. I heard that same comment about him getting the off the field, the ranking or the grade, I guess they give to him. Not surprised by that at all. Throughout the process, which was a very limited process, number one, I only talked to him about December to February when he signed. I could tell right away that this guy was, you know, was special. He was a little bit different. Of course, Nebraska fans got to see that over 5 years as well, or 4 years, excuse me. And it doesn't surprise me at all. I think he's going to have a load of success. It comes down to staying healthy. Comes down to staying the adjustments of the game. The speed of the game, I think, is be one of those things he has to do. But he does everything right. I mean, he doesn't have to come off the field in a passing down when it comes to him being a pass blocker. He's a tremendous receiver, and we all know how he does when it comes to running the football. So I think he's set up just perfectly. Now, Randy Gregory, a little bit different story, obviously. He actually goes after Amir Abdullah when they were, you know, picked to go the other way around. And like you said, Randy Gregory stuck it out. He was there the entire time. He knows it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when and where. And Dallas Cowboys, you know, who have a little bit of a history, I think, when it comes to grabbing guys that need a little bit different of a support system than your average player that if they draft or they bring into their organization, you know, they make a commitment to them. We're going to do this. We got an opportunity for, you know, your talents here at this program, but also to take care of you and your needs, you know, on and off the football field. I think that says a lot about Jerry Jones and the organization down here. You know, there's been a buzz. I mean, obviously, I'm in Dallas. There's been a huge buzz down here about not only getting Randy Gregory, but signing a guy like Collins yesterday, the undrafted offensive lineman from LSU. You know, they basically feel like they stole three first-rounders, you know, in the draft. And that's great. I think it's one of the things that Randy Gregory is, you know, with the I think he's going to recognize that he has an opportunity here, that he's made some mistakes, and that those mistakes are behind him. He can go ahead and put it behind him right now. He's got a great opportunity for getting, like, DeMarcus Ware's, you know, number. They believe in him right now.
Brian Munson, Rivals.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Go Cowboys! Let's look at the other guys that will probably have traditionally a tougher time just making the team once you get asked that basically second, third round where you're pretty sure you're going to get on. You get Kenny Bell in the fifth, and then you've got this handful of free agents. How do you see these guys working out and the odds that they make the teams they signed with?
You know, I was shocked that Kenny Bell waited around as long as he did. I think you have to consider a lot of different things when it comes to Kenny Bell. I think, number one, I hate to say this, but he didn't have prolific quarterbacks when it came to throwing the football at Nebraska. When you go out there and you say that you set a receiving record in Nebraska, it doesn't really mean a whole lot. But when you take into consideration the guys that you have throwing the football, it means a little bit something else. So Kenny Bell has had to be productive with less than ideal circumstances. And we all know what he can do, you know, when it comes to making spectacular grabs. He's had some inconsistencies on his come to making some bad drops. But we know that he's a tenacious blocker. I think that, you know, he can also be a real threat for a team when it comes to special teams. His toughness cannot be questioned. That guy was basically hurt all the time and would come out to the field, you know, crawling. So I think that that's a guy that is going to have success. I think you know, if you really wanted to grab the rest of them and kind of lump them all together, I think it's going to be difficult. I didn't really see anybody outside the second, third round besides like Kenny Bell, who I really felt like was going to go back and have a great shot at making a team and making a roster. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Undrafted free agents, you know, have ways of making careers out of staying there in the NFL. It's all going to come down to work ethic and how badly they want it. And they got a little bit of a taste of that, I think, in college. But there's really another desire, another will that you have to have when it comes to getting to the professional level. And it's going to come down to whether or not they have that junior or not.
Brian, and if you don't know, that's fine. It's graduation day here today at UNK, which I know holds a special place in your heart. And Cole Manhart, mm-hmm. from the Lopers, signs with the Eagles. Do you know much about Cole?
I don't. You know, that's a great story. There have been a number of UNK Lopers that I had either played with or came behind me that I felt like were, you know, NFL type guys. Joe Rutar was one of them. Justin Coleman, another guy who I really felt like I was a little bit surprised and nobody took a chance on. So I don't know much about him at all. I feel bad that I don't. But
no, it's fine.
Obviously the Lopers do have a special place in my heart. I took my son up there. We took a picture with Louie Loper at the midfield last August. So yeah, very special place for me.
Well, let's go to John, and Carney has a question here on the Dent Popper inbox, and it's about satellite camps. He says, hats off to Coach Riley for doing satellite camps in SEC country. I know the coaches down there hate it and are upset, but it's awesome to see Big Ten coaches rub it in the faces of SEC coaches and add a little bit of salt in the wound and counter their oversigning and all the stuff they do down there. Ask Brian about it. What do you think?
Well, I'm on board with rubbing the salt in their wounds, because, you know, they've had this recruiting advantage, you know, over other schools and other programs when it comes to oversigning, which in my opinion is that's got to be something special when you can take an extra two guys every single year and send two guys packing. I don't know how ethical that is necessarily when you always got to have, you know, you plan for attrition like that. It doesn't set real well with me, to be honest with you. I think it's a great move by Coach Riley and his staff. I don't know necessarily about what kind of immediate results there'll be when it comes to getting down there to Atlanta and grabbing commitments out of there. But what I've tried to say before in the past on this issue was, you know, Nebraska is attacking Georgia differently than what they've had to before in the last couple of years, and that is that Coach Warren, Coach Charlton Warren is no longer there. So you have to keep contact to a state where you've had success recruiting in the last 2 to 3 years. And the way that you do that, of course, is you get down there and you get in this camp, and then you can sit there and build up the connections with the players. You can build the connections with the other coaches, and you can stay tight into the area. And that's something that they've done. And if you go back and you look at the map on Rivals.com when it comes to the offers, what's kind of gone out geographically, Atlanta, Georgia has been, in the state of Georgia as well, has just been completely saturated with Nebraska offers. So this is a great way to follow up all of the offers that are out there to players from Georgia that Nebraska's coming out there to hold this camp.
Let's talk about the two oral commits from this week, Brian. A couple of names that are not tongue twisters. Quarterback Terry Wilson comes out of Oklahoma. Linebacker William Johnson out of Arizona Western down there in Arizona. Obviously a linebacker that Huskers are needing probably this year more than even next year, but that's the case. Talk about these two, if you would.
Terry Wilson is a guy that I actually started writing about since March, maybe February. Really liked his film. You know, he's a mobile guy. He gets that dual threat athlete tag, you know, tab to him. But I don't know necessarily if that's fair. He's still a throw first, run second kind of guy. Keeps his eyes downfield the entire time. You know, really squares his shoulders, makes real good throws, has a strong arm, can put it in there with touch. I really felt like he has a real sense of the game, a real feel for the game. He wouldn't have been like my top rated quarterback on the board, like based on all the Nebraska offers. I really felt like Patrick O'Brien was really, when you think about where Riley is going with the offense, or what Riley is going with the offense with Langsdorf, I felt like O'Brien would have been a real good fit. Now, it makes complete sense when you have a guy like O'Brien coming in this weekend, and the word on the street is, of course, that there seems to be at least a way that Nebraska is considering taking two quarterbacks this year. To get guys like O'Brien and Wilson in the same class would be huge, because they're very complementary. That the one guy doesn't have necessarily the athleticism, the other guy doesn't have necessarily quite the polish when it comes to being a passer. So you hope that those two guys can kind of put them together in the same system and see what kind of happens there. But William Johnson is a guy, out of Yuma, Arizona, Western Community College, who I didn't really know anything about when he committed. I'd actually been tracking his teammate, David Fualata-Saga, who was an Ole Miss commitment and probably one of the top-rated junior college linebackers in the nation. So then I put Johnson's film on it. Man, this guy can run. You totally lose the fact that this guy is 6'3", 225. He is running like a deer, sideline to sideline. And then you kind of also don't realize, you know, that he's running quite as fast when you can see him just completely, you know, or you realize that he's that big, I guess what I should say, when he's sticking people in the gaps. I mean, he plays physical in the box. He can run sideline to sideline, which is exactly what Coach Bray and that defense is looking for, is a little bit more toughness, a little bit more athleticism, but not giving up one to gain the other. And Johnson is a complete package in that regard.
Jim Langen, back here again is the question. I know Tom Osborne, when he recruited, he kept his doors open, and especially after, I think it was Prop 48 with the junior colleges, that he started taking more junior college players, but his walk-on program was so important to him. What will Riley do? I mean, NCAA baseball, I mean, there's really a lot of JUCO players that are going back to NCAA baseball. In football, do you think Riley will be more of a JUCO like Kansas State was? I mean, no one's going to be quite as much as he was, but will he be looking at getting more junior college players, or do you think he'll be like Pelini was and just kind of keep the doors open?
You know, I think that you're going to find some sort of a guy that's in the middle of Bill Callahan and Bill Pelini, and I think I would liken Bill Callahan more to Snyder than I would to Tom Osborne or to Bo Pelini. I looked back at the roster that Oregon State had, you know, like back in December, and I tried to get a feel for how he kind of evaluated guys, what he kind of felt like with junior college guys, and it was clear he was taking 2, 3, 4 guys a year from the junior college ranks. And my theory about junior colleges are this: you have to evaluate those guys. Those guys are there. If you're not taking junior college guys, you potentially are losing to those junior college guys, especially when they're growing up in the Jayhawk League, which is just south in Kansas. You have to take advantage of that type of opportunity. Going to a school like Iowa Western on the other side of the Missouri, you have to get over there and take a look at those guys. So I think what you're going to find here, number one, is I'm sure they have a pretty good idea coming out of spring, you know, where there's some holes. Clearly, when it comes to a guy like Johnson, they're saying we could use some immediate help come December at the linebacker spot. So they've already identified one spot. You know, they've already identified some junior college guys at the wide receiver spot. They've identified a guy, middle linebacker from down in Oklahoma. They've identified a cornerback from down there in Oklahoma. I think realistically you're probably going to be looking to shore up the defensive side of the football first when it comes to these junior college guys. And from here on out, you evaluate them like if they have a chance to come in and play immediately or get into the mix immediately in those top two spots, you have to go ahead and make offers. And I think that would be the correct way of approaching junior college guys.
Brian Munson, Rivals.com. I've got about 30 seconds, Brian. What's up next for the Huskers? We have junior days. We have we have Rivals camps. What's next?
So you had Matt Farniok, who stopped by Lincoln today after Coach Cav saw him earlier this week up at his high school. He's on his way down to his brother's graduation in Oklahoma. You have Patrick O'Brien, who is the signal caller that I talked about before. He'll be in town this weekend. You have Bigger and Weekend, the first two weekends in the month of June. You have JoJo Doman, who's potentially getting ready to make a commitment. You have Noah Fant, who's potentially ready to make a commitment here in the next month or two. Lots of stuff on the horizon, guys, and we had two guys waiting a long time for those two commitments. There should be a lot more over the next 2 months.
And we will keep up to date with you, Brian. Always appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, and, hey, enjoy your summer. Go Cowboys!
That's right. Have a great weekend, guys.
See you, buddy. Brian Munson, now with Rivals.com, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, always brought to you by T&L Irrigation. Hey, I want to remind you that the Kearney American Legion Barbecue Auction Fundraiser yearly function is tonight. I hope you folks were up early enough yesterday to watch our friends at Good Morning Nebraska and see Jimmy Langan there and Marty Albrecht and Ty Roseberry and your son Chris, and they are wearing their uniforms and you had the tie on.
Yeah, and you know, and
you look good.
I was trying to think of the word barbecue and it just didn't come out. Thank God, because I thought it was about 5.5 seconds, but when I replayed it, because it was only about 1.25 seconds, but it seemed like an eternity for me to read. And you know, sometimes you want a word and you just can't think of it. You know, and barbecue, I guess, was not in my vocabulary very much. I just don't talk about them. Home runs, I can get triples, doubles. They're right in my vocabulary, but the word barbecue, that's going to be the word of the month. And don't think I haven't been taking some heat from my buddies on this.
Doors open at around 5:30. We'll start serving at 6. Your $10 ticket includes the great meal provided by the Unis Center, drinks of your choice that are out there, most in a can, and a raffle ticket as well for some great items. There's the silent auction. The live auction will get going about 7:30. Tickets to the Alabama concert, golf packages, including at the Prairie Club, authenticated autographed Major League Baseball player jerseys. They always have some real good ones out there as well. So it's all going on tonight. Broadfoot Sand and Gravel, as it is every year, and that is just south of Skeeter Barn, south of the interstate, before you get to the construction. It's right there tonight. Gets underway at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, those two Major League players are Dave Ortiz this year and Yosel Puig, you know, from the Dodgers. So those are the two that I know of that will be raffling off. And, boy, anybody that would come, even if you don't eat, if you just want to come to the auction, we'd love to have you.
We need to take a break. Alan Van Curie going to join us, and we've got Fanatics Trivia coming up as well here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fonner Park.
Race to Fonner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge for fantastic food, full bar, live draw keno, and nationwide thoroughbred racing. Bet on the best starting at 11:45. 22 top tracks, including Horseman's Park, Omaha. Stay for night racing and the Out of This World Prime Rib Special at the Finish Line, Grand Island, number one for food and fun.
Hi, Bo here from your locally owned and operated Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. At 80 years young, GNC continues to be the world's leading nutrition and supplement provider with guaranteed product purity, potency, bioavailability, and pricing on everything in the store. Don't settle for second best. Trust the company and products with over 80 years of experience to meet and exceed your health and wellness goals. Only at your Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs.
GNC, 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 GNC.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now on America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
Right makes such a difference. Goodwill.
The story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my journey of recovery. 5 years ago, addiction, major depressive disorder, and severe arthritis left me feeling hopeless. But with Goodwill's effective programs and compassionate, dedicated staff, I became hopeful my life could be different. Today, I am managing my illness, and life is good for me and my family. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. and Goodwill is celebrating people. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals and realizing dreams, what we all strive for, what Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story. Life is definitely good for me and future generations.
Doing it right makes such a difference.
Oh, yeah. Hope the folks had fun last night. Have fun tonight. One of the reasons the Huskers couldn't go to Omaha to play baseball was, well, Creighton's around, Omaha Storm Chase around, Garth concerts going on all weekend. But just been reported, Steve Sippel saying that they are going to play as scheduled at Haymarket Park. So Nebraska baseball currently on as scheduled at Haymarket Park. Now, whether they try to shove a doubleheader in Saturday with rain in the forecast Sunday or hold off till Monday. Of course, Monday you can't really play a doubleheader because of the travel plans. They need to get back on the plane and get home. So again, we've talked about this week how important those series are, but they are going to play at Haymarket Park, according to SIP. Hey, we are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. See your Midway Auto Group today. And congratulations, graduates. You've earned something special. Now you can own something special. The 2015 Chrysler College Grad Program offers you special incentives. If you've graduated from college in the last 2 years, doesn't even have to be this week or next. If you graduate in the upcoming 6 months or are currently enrolled in a master's or doctoral program, you're eligible. When you purchase a brand new Chrysler, you'll receive an extra $500 cash allowance. The Chrysler 200, 300, Town and Country offer the ideal style of performance, efficiency. So hurry into Midway and take advantage of the offer. You did it. So be proud, folks, and get moving in a new Cadillac. Congratulations to all of the graduates from your Midway Auto Dealership. Midway Auto Group, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. We also now have been told that the Lexington Boys Substate game is going to kick off at noon. We know the Kearney Catholic girls are going to kick off at noon tomorrow as well. NBA tonight, Cleveland is at Chicago, Houston at the Clippers, and the NHL, Washington is at the Rangers, and Anaheim is at Calgary. Last night, Chicago finishes out a sweep as they move on, taking care of business, and Montreal stays alive with the win last night against Tampa Bay. So there you go. A couple of other sports notes. We've run down basically all the high school stuff. We tell you about Husker baseball. Anything else, Jimmy?
I think we got it covered. I mean, you know, we got NBA basketball, but I think you've covered it all. We're in no games are elimination games. You know, we're still early enough into the NBA. So I haven't got anything, Doug. Do you have anything?
Five Lopers have been named as seniors, 7 overall to the all-conference team in baseball. Anthony Pacheco, once again, named first-team all-conference. Max Ayoub is on the first team, second team to Danny Droll, third team Brandon Landinger, Dylan Schroeder, and Aaron Smith, and Connor Messinger named honorable mention. And Nebraska softball will play Ohio State on the Big Ten Network this afternoon at 4:30. And we are joined now by another Hall of Famer, and he may even be the National Coach of the Year, one of the eight finalists going to Minnesota next month. Announcing yesterday that 40 years at Hastings St. Cecilia, that's a good good place to just kind of step off. Alan Van Kira, longtime teacher, coach, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda and Jim Langan. And Coach, we add our congratulations to all of those that I'm sure you've already received.
Well, thank you very much, Doug. It was a very, very tough decision, one that, you know, you never like to make, but I just felt that maybe the timing was right and, you know, it was going to eventually come, and I was just pleased to have such a good group of kids to work with this season, and I wanted to be able to go out on my own terms, and so it took a lot of thought, and I just decided that, you know, this was probably the right year to do it.
Was there one factor that made this off season different than the last three or four? Because, I mean, you guys have been on a heck of a roll.
Well, I had been taking it for about the last two or three years. And, I had a group of kids here that this year seniors were as freshmen when I started them. And I just, you know, they were just a great group. And I know I wanted to see them through their senior year. And, you know, not that next year would be different because we got a great group of juniors coming up, but it was just one of those things that, you know, we talked over with my wife, and, you know, we just you know, came to that conclusion that that was probably the time to do it.
Hey, Coach, Jim Langan here. When I look at volleyball, of course, this is in during my lifetime when I was a teacher. I mean, I started after you. I retired before you. And every time I go to St. Cecilia, you know, I just could recognize it. There he is. Or, you know, every time I saw you. And there was a tradition there with the volleyball, with GICC in Zavala and St. Cecilia in Vancouver and SCOTUS in Peterson. I mean, talk a little bit about that, because, I mean, this is amazing how many games the three of you won. I mean, and then you're all kind of down here about the same time, and, you know, at the end of your careers anyway.
Well, it you know, with John and Sharon, it's been, you know, a friendly rivalry. You know, we played each other in the conference two or three times, and I've got to know them very well, and, you know, I think we're very good friends. And, you know, in talking with John Peterson when he hung it up, you know, his comments were that you know when it's time, and I was just getting those feelings. And but, you know, we've had a lot of good matches, and, you know, we didn't always win them all, they didn't always win them all, but I think the rivalry was good. And we always enjoyed the level of competition because it did bring out, you know, whenever we played them, I think it always brought out a higher level from our kids, as I'm sure it did from them.
Alan Van Curen joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, stepping down. He's still got conference tomorrow, districts next week, state in a couple of weeks, so there's still plenty of opportunity to see the St. Cecilia Tracksters out there and say congrats to the coach. But volleyball was kind of, when it first started, it wasn't like you guys won the first two state championships, but 82, you won the first title. And if people don't remember, and I'm sure there's a lot of them that don't, under the old scoring system of playing to 15, the side out, all three of your matches at the state tournament went the three sets. Can you remember and take us back to that 82 team?
Well, that's kind of hard to do. You know, it seems like we were always in there with Republican Valley or Lincoln Christian on those, you know, state championship matches. And, you know, I think we had a streak there where we were, like, champions one year, then runner-up the next year, then we came back and were champions the next year, and then runner-up or something like that. But, you know, that was the old traditional scoring. I mean, you could do a lot of different things. You could block serves. You got to serve from a certain area. So, you know, the game has changed so much. And, you know, this year's kids, you know, they would have no idea what it was like back then unless they got an old video out and watched. But, yeah, you know, it was a completely different game. And it has changed so much, probably more so than any sport, because of, you know, just at the collegiate level with Nebraska, how you got the fast offenses. And, you know, and we eventually had to make that change because you know, you weren't going to go too far if you were just setting high outsides all day long.
I brought it up earlier in the show, Alan. You've had a lot of success early, a lot of success here lately. You've always been competitive, but there were a lot of years in there that you weren't playing in the state finals and you didn't bring home the state championships, where I'm sure you're thinking, you know, I've done this for 20 years or 25 years. What kept you going? And you've talked about the dedication of the kids, but for you personally, what kept you going through those times where you'd had success, you didn't need it again, but obviously you were able to get back and get a couple of more state titles?
Well, it just seemed like here in this area of the state, there are so many good volleyball teams, and unfortunately, a lot of those years we got stuck in a district with a couple other good teams, and we just didn't quite, you know, get out of that district to make it down there. But you know, I enjoyed the game so much, and I loved being around the kids. And, you know, when I first started it, I didn't know anything about the sport. In fact, when I was hired, I didn't know I was going to be a volleyball coach. I found out at Coach's Clinic, which was a week before basically fall sports started, and I was told that I was going to be the volleyball coach. So talk about learning on the job. And, you know, it wasn't always easy those first couple years, but, you know, in talking with other coaches going to clinics, and, you know, you learned a little bit about it. And I can still remember going to a summer volleyball theory course at UNK, and instructor there, and I've always remembered this, but he preached that repetition is the key to success, not variety. And I think I kind of played that to a high level because we did a lot of things over and over just to get good, especially from a defensive standpoint. You know, and sometimes maybe the drills became monotonous for the players, but in the long run, I think it made us better at what we were doing, especially from a defense, you know, because we weren't very big. We, you know, I could probably name on one hand the number of six-footers that started for us. So we had to play defense, and I've always remembered that.
Yeah, Coach, you made a great point, and I think there's other schools. And, I mean, you were there for 40 years, so you're going to have a weak district every once in a while, but you're going to have a district they're going, oh, my God, we can't even get out of this thing. And I remember when Grant was really good in high school boys basketball, and so was Rushville. And Rushville had to play Grant four times, and Rushville, like, their record was like 80-8, and they never got to go to the state tournament. And I remember your teams too. I think Sandy Creek had a streak there where you were stuck with them, and they were loaded and winning times. And so when I was naming GICC and SCOTUS, I kind of forgot about how good Sandy Creek was. And Indiana Republican Valley had a coach there for a lot of years too in the success. But one thing about it, Coach, you were always humble and you never made excuses, and we really appreciate that. As other coaches, when you got beat, you just went on, and we moved on.
Well, thank you so much. You know, sometimes the losses weren't always easy to take, but, you know, if we felt we got beat by a better team that night, there's not a whole lot you can do. And, you know, like you said, you know, like brought up Sandy Creek and Central Catholic, when they were in our districts, you know, and years ago we never had the wild card option, so it was either win your district or stay home. And oftentimes there were a lot of good teams staying home, and unfortunately some years that was us.
Last minute here with Alan Van Kira. Like we said, you still got track going on. Most of it we talk about is volleyball. Your track has been also very successful. Just talk about that and what you still got ahead of you here the next couple of weeks.
Well, you know, we've got conference and we got district. And, you know, these last 3 years I've been kind of in charge of both boys and girls. So it's really kept me busy in the spring. But, again, just like with volleyball, I think I got a tremendous group of boys and girls, you know, athletes this year, and, you know, we're probably not as deep as we would like to be in some areas, but, you know, we go to conference at Columbus on Saturday, and that turns into be like a mini state meet always, because there's so many good teams there, and we're probably one of the smallest schools in that conference, so we've got our work cut out for us, but it is an opportunity for us to try and, you know, better our marks that we've had for the season and get us prepared for districts. And the big thing you always worry about is you know, will the weather cooperate for you, you know, because you're trying to get ready for districts, and the last thing you want is run in, you know, into rainy weather or cold weather or something like that. So hopefully that's going to cooperate, but Our kids have worked hard. You know, they've had a successful spring so far, and we're just hoping it can continue.
Alan, we'll let you go with this, because the answer to the question most of the time is, well, it's the memories, it's the kids, it's the coaches, it's the relationships. But I always know that when somebody's asked about that moment, it might be the first match that you ever coached, it might have been the last match you ever coached, but when somebody pops that question and says, you know, 40 years, what's the first thing that pops into your mind?
How did I survive that long without going crazy? You know, and again, you know, a lot of credit goes to my wife, because she's been so supportive of me in doing this, and she was my assistant for a lot of years. And so, you know, you couldn't do it without, you know, the support of your family, and they were always behind me. So that was a big part of it, too.
Well, Coach, we'll see you here in the track meets the next couple of weeks. Continued success, and we can always use a radio analyst for volleyball, so keep that on your desk as well.
All right. Well, thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Alan. We'll see you soon. Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you.
Alan Van Kira was at O'Neill, then 40 years with Hastings St. Cecilia, 830 victories, 252 losses. Some of the big names have been hanging them up here the last couple of years, which is great for the young coaches that we'll get to give them an opportunity. Also, they won six state titles. They were the runner-up twice, three third places. In track, they won it back in 80, three runners-up, 17 district championships. And his assistant, Rob Kober, is who he talked about, his coaches and his players. He's also going to hang it up. That's a good time for volleyball. I mean, hey, you've been doing it for 25 years together. We'll let a new crew come in and take over. So congratulations to Coach. And with that, let's do our Fanatics Friday fan quiz. It's trivia for you. $25 gift card to the person that can answer our trivia question today. One winner per household every 3 months. Our number is 888-455-3776, which spells out ESPN. 888-455-3776. The first time Hastings St. Cecilia went to the state volleyball tournament was in 1976. They beat Palmyra. but then they lost in the semifinals to this current Fort Kearney Conference school. They lost in the state semifinals to this current Fort Kearney Conference school and the state volleyball tournament. Give us a buzz, 888-455-3776, and we'll be back after this.
To be successful in the agricultural market these days, you need the best equipment, the highest quality seed, and a relentless work ethic. With so much riding on the bottom line, you can't afford to have anything but the Midwest Premier Crop Protection, when only the best will do. Look to the professionals at Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance Company of Iowa. They've protected America's farmers since 1893 with a combination of financial strength, long-term stability, and service. Put your trust in the Kroll Agency, your local Farmers Mutual Hail agent. Farmers Mutual Hail and Kroll Agency are equal opportunity providers.
Are the old prescriptions piling up? Is unused or expired medicine filling your cabinet? Leaving old medicine around can lead to accidental poisoning or illegal use by others, but you shouldn't just toss or flush it. Take your old or unwanted medicine to one of the following pharmacies for proper disposal: Hy-Vee, Medicap Pharmacy, ABC Drugs, Valley Pharmacy, and Svanda Health Mart in Ravenna. Visit NebraskaMeds.org to view the growing list of pharmacies that will properly dispose of your old or expired medications. This message was brought to you by Positive Pressure and Buffalo County Community Partners.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport, done right.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the middle of Fanatics Friday Trivia. Don't have a winner yet. Call us back. Who, in the 1976, that's when St. Cecilia made their first state tournament, they beat Palmyra. Which current Fort Kearney Conference team beat them in the semifinals? Who did St. Cecilia, who was their first state tournament loss ever, is basically what I'm asking you. It's a current school in the Fort Kearney Conference. And don't forget, whatever the sporting event is, they've got it on at Fanatics. If the game's on, the game's on. Fanatics is dedicated to keeping the games on until they're over, so you don't have to worry about them turning off the game you want to watch just because it's after 10 o'clock. And now with the nice weather, don't forget the bullpen outdoor beer garden is open. The new addition can be reserved for receptions, private parties, televisions, nice place to sit and enjoy. We just like you're doing inside, but you can enjoy the weather as well. Whatever the sport, it's on at Fanatics. Enjoy some of their custom handcrafted pizza with your choice of toppings made to your specifications going on at Fanatics. Congratulations to Patrick from Kearney. He knew that Pleasanton was the team in three sets that beat Hastings St. Cecilia that first time. And I didn't know how to phrase the question. For the second time, who St. Cecilia beat in that 1982 state championship game, because I thought the only way I could go was former Lou Platt member. That would have been a little easy. Burwell was the first team that they won a state championship against, which was obviously strong at that time as well. So congratulations to Patrick in Kearney. He's got a $25 gift card coming up to Fanatics. And you got it right.
Yeah, I did get that right. Hey, Doug, you know, in 82, I was coaching at Ravenna, and we upset Burwell in the first set and had him down to game point. You know, I was up 14-12, and we had a serve into the net, and the next thing you know, we had to shake hands, and we lost 16-14, and then lost the last set. Really a tough loss for me. When you only win 12 games, you know, in 2 years, you know, that was a tough one. They had Steph Beaulieu, but went on and played basketball for Nebraska. Is that right?
No, volleyball.
Volleyball for Nebraska.
She was like the first jump server
here. Hey, she definitely did some jump serving that day. Yeah, and thank God she missed a couple serves, because I don't think there's anything we were going to do. It's kind of like a guy that walks you that's throwing 100 mile an hour. You're standing there going, I'm not going to hit this, so I hope I get hit by the pitch or I walk.
From the Dead Popper inbox, Ed says, Alan has done a great job of keeping current over the years in volleyball, and that's probably one of the reasons that they've done a great job of being successful. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes you get, I don't know if stuck's the right word, but your way worked in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, whatever, and sometimes changes don't, you don't evolve with change, and Alan has definitely done so.
Yeah, if we had enough time, I mean, can you imagine how many presidents, you know, in the 40 years, or you look, I mean, how do you, you could just talk about, you know, how many NBA franchises have changed names or where they've gone since he's been doing this for 40 years. But one thing about it is, you know, like I said, when you go to St. Cecilia, other than the new gym they got, because they used to have a kind of a cracker box place they used to play in. But other than the new gym, things didn't really change much. And, you know, St. Cecilia has been really pretty good in athletics. I mean, in girl sports, I mean, in boy sports, they're always good in football. They're good in basketball. But in, they dominated in the 1970s. You know, they had some really good girls teams in the 1970s. So they really got the thing started,
you know,
when girls sports.
He didn't tell us the real reason he was retiring.
Why is the real reason?
No air conditioning in the Chapman Gym.
Is that
it's just too hot in July and August and September.
That's the real reason.
No.
The real reason, yeah.
No. We do have some times to add to boys substate and girls substate, and then we'll get out of here. Lexington will host Lincoln Lutheran tomorrow at 12 noon. The Hastings boys will be at Ralston, and they will play that at 1 o'clock. These are substate, basically first round of the state tournament for you. And then in the girls substate tomorrow, Kearney Catholic will be in action as they host Platteview. That's at 12 o'clock at Baldwin Park. The Hastings girls will host Omaha Duchesne at Hastings College, and that will be at 1 o'clock as well. So those are the matchups. I think I got them all. Is that everybody? I hope so. Hope I didn't skip anybody or overlook anybody there, but that's what's going on with Substate. And Kearney High boys and girls, they're headed to state as well. Congratulations. And now Hastings may be able to follow suit, Jimmy, so that would be quite the story for next week.
Yes, it would be. You know, we were back about St. Cecilia. Jim Nemitz was the coach that was coaching all these players. And there was an athlete. Her name was Nancy Kendig, and she long jumped.
She's like, okay.
Dude, she long jumped. I didn't know it at the time, but she long jumped 19.6. And I think a girl by the name of Steph Gold was from Shelton. She long jumped 19.4. And I didn't know. I mean, I thought, oh, that's about right. I mean, guys were jumping about 21 feet, and they're going, I mean, amazing. They were like 2 and 3 in the nation. And then Sandra Obermeyer from Aurora was doing the same thing. So, I mean, I thought, well, I mean, you know, everybody's going to jump, long jump. All
they
girls will long jump about 20 feet,
years.
Right around 20 feet. Yeah.
Still not.
Amazing.
Still not.
Absolutely amazing.
30, 40 years later. Folks, Big Dally's Deli, home of Bazillion and One Sandwiches, 610 East South Street in Hastings. All their sandwiches served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun, cheese, fresh veggies, condiments. And if you're getting ready for graduation or just getting ready for baseball and summer and traveling, Big Dally's can offer you meat and cheese trays, two-foot sandwiches for special events. Don't forget, Big Dally's Deli can make it however you want. You can get the old combo meal, chips, fruit cups, side salad, potato salad, even homemade soup, which is always good, desserts, cookies, and more at Big Dally's Deli, just across from Duncan Field, 610 East South Street in Hastings. And one final note, some problems over with the Nebraska Danger, unfortunate situation. A couple of players were arrested earlier this week, and really, when you talk about it, with the roster only being 21 guys or whatever, you kind of know all the names, but Kane Farquharson, all-conference wide receiver, defensive lineman Claude Rutten, who was an all-conference defensive lineman last year, in some trouble with the law, and so they have been dismissed from the team, and we'll see how that plays out. So there is a chance, depending on how the legal thing goes on. I mean, they're not found guilty, but if this clears up, there is a chance they could be back with the team, but obviously odds are against that happening. It is a bye week. So from a football standpoint, the Danger have a little time here to try and find some replacements. But they go to undefeated, multiple-time league champion Sioux Falls next Saturday. So their biggest game of the regular season will be next week. They're down a couple of guys over there for the Nebraska Danger. We want to thank our guests today, Alan Van Cura, retiring at Hastings St. Cecilia, Brian Munson of Rivals.com. When we come back on Monday, We'll know a few more things about all of the state tournaments. The brackets will be out. We'll be getting you ready for district, track, state soccer. And, of course, next week, the Belmont can American, or the Preakness can American Pharoah get the second leg of the Triple Crown. Jimmy, have a good weekend, man.
Thanks, Doug. See you tonight.
Enjoy the graduation food.
Oh, I'll be doing that and all the barbecue food. The barbecue.
We'll see you on Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.